One of the things I want to talk about today is it's been my experience, and I'm pretty sure that it's been your experience too, where you would talk to someone about the Bible, a family member, a friend, or anybody, somebody in the street about God's word, and you start speaking about salvation, election, all these wonderful things that the Bible teaches. Bible teaches this wonderful thing that we're saved by grace alone, and nothing that we could do would ever save us. And you begin to share scripture verses with someone in your family or wherever you might be, and they get very offended at what you're saying to them, because you know the Bible teaches these things and they can't see it for dust. They want to argue with you and all these things, but the true believer, we should not strive with someone about the Bible, because we can't open their eyes to it. During the church age, we cannot open somebody understanding to God's word. You can't open the eyes of your children. You can't open the eyes of your spouse. You can't open the eyes of anyone to the truth of the gospel. And, it breaks your heart at times when you try to share the gospel, especially with those who are close to you, and they can't see it for dust. But we know that God is the one who saves. God is the one who opened the eyes of someone to truth. But we know that we're living in a day now where all the elect are saved. The door is shut. No one else is becoming saved. And you hope that God had opened the eyes of this person before May 21 to the truth of the gospel. And we rest in that. We rest in the fact that God could have saved them before May 21. But we know that also that all of this is working out to the praise and glory of God. You read in Romans 9 verse 17. It's a quotation from Exodus chapter 9 verse 16, I believe, where God says here in verse 17, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, and that my name might be glorified throughout all the earth." This salvation plan that God has designed from eternity past, and he's working it out in our day, is for the glory of God. God's name is glorified. It's not because of us. It's not because of us. It's the praise and glory of God. He saved and elect people. That's it. We can't say that, this is the reason why God saved me. No, all things are working out to the praise and glory of God. Even Pharaoh and all these things, God is in control of it. It's to his praise and to his glory. And it's like he throws mankind in his elect, however number of elect he saved, to his glory. To his glory, that's it. So God is righteous in all that he does and so forth. But I want to speak a little bit about today that God's word, God's salvation plan, is an offense to mankind. We are offended at it until God opens our spiritual eyes to it. You could talk to somebody about election and God save a people for himself. It's been my experience where they get very upset. They get very upset. Oh, that's not right. Why would God create man and then destroy them? And they go on complaining and murmuring, complaining, just like the scribes and the Pharisees in the New Testament and so forth. And they get very upset about it. They are, in other words, they are offended at it. That's it. They may not see it, but what they're doing, they're being offended. They're arguing with God. That describes that they're monstrated with Christ. How shall this man give us his flesh to eat? And it's arguing. The truth of God's word, man is offended at it because it's not what they think that he ought to be. It's not what they think God's salvation plan ought to be. You know, if you will share with man a false gospel, God loves everybody, then everybody would love you. But no, they would rejoice in that you have some kind of control over when you become saved and just walk down the aisle and, this love, that false teaching. But the truth of the gospel, as we're going to see in these verses, that as Christ, who is the perfect preacher, as he brought the gospel as you read through the Gospels, you see that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews, they were offended at him. Did Christ know that? Of course he did. The truth is an offense to mankind until God opened our eyes and we see truth through the Bible. That's how we see the beauty of it. We see the beauty of the Gospel when God opened our eyes to it. We see how wonderful it is. How can it be that God would save anyone? After we see how vile and wretched we are by nature. Because by nature, we're children of wrath. You know, the true believers are no different. It's just God's mercy why he saved anyone. And we could spend many lifetimes speaking about the wonders of God's salvation plan. And see how glorious and wonderful it is. And in our day, we know that the door now has been shut. No one else is getting in. And wonderfully, as we look back on these verses, we could see how wonderful it is. But let's turn to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 1 to 12. John chapter 16, verses 1 to 12. These things have I spoken unto you that these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. Okay. When God has opened our spiritual eyes, we're not going to be offended at the gospel. We see the beauty of it. They shall put you out of synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I have told you of them. And these things, you know, God uses these phrase, these things, that a lot of times it's pertaining to the word of God. And these things have I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. As Christ is truth. And when he speaks truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, he, the Spirit of truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it thee. See, God's salvation plan, this verse here, read up to see these words, it glorifies God. God's word saves. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But at the end of the day, God's salvation plan is for his glory. When Christ speaks up in verse 1 there, it's in John chapter 16, it talks about that the true believers, we are not going to be offended at when God speaks about righteousness and all these things in God's salvation plan. We're not going to be offended at it because God himself has opened our eyes to truth. By his mercy, we see these things, and we glorify God in them. But for the wicked and those who are not looking for truth in the Bible, no matter what you show them, they're going to be offended at it. The perfect example in our day, now we post May 21. Many people who once used to be with us, handing out tracts and doing all these works, now they are offended at the very teachings at one time they upheld. They were out there handing out tracts. They were doing all these things. But now in their mind's eye, May 21 came and went, and nothing happened in their eyes. We're all still here, and nothing happened. Now they are offended. Many have gone back into their churches. Many have don't want to hear anything about May 21 because they're offended at it. They're offended. And how sad that is. You know, pride is a horrible thing. Pops right up. Many of them are embarrassed because they have to go back to their families, have to go back to work. And for the daily grind of life, they have to go back to it. And many people are looking at them now, aha, I told you. The church is saying, no one knows the day or the hour. Yes, we told you. Nothing was going to happen. And they're totally embarrassed by it. See, and they're offended at the things that God has teach us from the Bible, the calendar, which is biblical. Many people now have seen errors in it. They no longer hold to it. You know, and how sad that is. Let me jump ahead here and look at, you remember, I was thinking about this. I always get in trouble when I jump ahead. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I believe. Remember the parable of the sower? In Matthew 13, verse 20. It dawned on me last night I was reading this verse. In Matthew 13, verse 20, I think now we could understand this a little bit better. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and on with joy receiveth it. Those that hear it, and oh boy, it sounds good. They rejoice when they heard it, but look at verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. Leading up to May 21, remember all the activities that led up there, or the tracks were going out, you know, and all these activities and track trips all over the world. They endured for a while. They endured. I'm not judging my fellow man. But they endured for a while. They were out there on fire for the Lord, so to speak. And now it says, yet, in verse 20, yet have he not root. Remember, the root is Christ. Christ is the root and offspring of David. In other words, some of them were not saved. They were not saved, and they endured for a while. May 21 came and went. And because they were not truly saved, they fall back in their own way. And says, yet hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. Remember, these dear ones, they saw, and yet by and by, he is offended. See how that matches up to where we are, where for a while they were there with us. They were there. They did all these things and all that. They endured for a while. But now May 21 has passed. It's passed. Now, you know, remember in the papers or in the news, the mockers were out there in force. The mockers were there. And I had to go back to our families, and I had to go back to work. I remember when I went back to work that day, they're looking at me like, oh, I'm not going to say much to that guy. Yeah. And they look at me, and, you know, I could see the looks on their faces. And remember right after that, there was an earthquake in the D.C. area. And they rattled up here, too. And this one lady came to me and says, Robert, you thought it was Judgment Day, didn't you? Yeah, you know, so, you know, but here these people, they went along, you know, for a while, and now God is testing us now. We're being tested by God, severe testing. And many, many have gone back into their churches. They no longer want to have anything to do with the gospel. They felt they were deceived into this. They were tricked, and all sorts of things. But I think this is pointing to our day, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, the Bible, the word of God. By and by, he is offended. He's offended at it. He no longer wants to talk about it. Don't want to hear it. I've spoken to a few people. They have nothing to do with it. Some people, they have gone back to their families and apologized to them. Apologized. Sorry, children, we were wrong. What? Did you really believe the teachings from the Bible about the calendar, tribulation period, and all these verses and scriptures? And oh, so many. God has opened the eyes of, opened the Bible in our day to these great truths that have been kept hidden from our eyes throughout the ages. And now God has opened the eyes of his people, the scriptures and the eyes of his people as they compare scripture with scripture. And God's timing. Remember reading Daniel, but knowledge shall be increased and all these things. And yet they have turned away and gone back to their churches where there is no salvation there. And these same one thought the churches were, church ages were over, and all these teachings, they have gone back into their churches when there is, churches are dead for years. And how sad that is. This, the churches now are they are emboldened now. See? Told you. Come on back. And there's many streaming back into the churches where there is no salvation. There is no gospel. And how sad that is. But let's go back over to, let's read, John 6. John chapter 6, where you see the scribes and the Pharisees as they spoke to Christ, speaking to them. In John chapter 6, I think it's verse 59 to 71. John chapter 6, verses 59 to 71. These things said he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. Notice Christ is always teaching. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" It's interesting. The disciple says, "Who can hear it?" No one. Because by nature we are spiritually dead until Christ opened our eyes and our ears to hear it. Then we will hear it. See? Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. The disciples, they were murmuring too, you know, "Lord, you know." And they murmured at it, what Christ was saying. He said unto them, "Does this offend you? What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Remember Christ said to us, we compare spiritual things. The Bible is a spiritual book. Here Christ is telling us, "The things that I speak unto you, they are spirit." We got to look for the spiritual meaning of what Christ is teaching us. Spirit. Bible is a spiritual book. You know, Christ, God wrote the Bible this way. It's a spiritual book. "But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not." From the beginning. Christ is God, isn't he? From the beginning. Christ knew his elect and those who weren't elect. He knows. "And who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, when I read this last night, remember, it reminds me of today, in the day which we live. As we know, there were those who was walking, following the teaching, and now they're offended at what's been taught, and now they walk no more with the gospel. They walk no more longer with us because they are offended at what God is teaching. And verse 67, Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of them. See, those who are truly saved, we're not going to go away from Christ, because it's not our doing. God keeps us. Not in our own strength, or we have no power. It's not something that we got to hang on to Christ. No, God holds us. We won't go away. We are not going to be offended at the teaching from the Bible. Once we be like the Bereans, we checked it out, we see it's according to the Word of God, we are not going to be offended. We are not going to go away from it. It's just a fact. And, you know, we may be don't understand something for a time until God opens our understanding to it. But when we check it out in the Bible and it's proven to be truth, we're not going to go away from it. We're not going to turn and walk away, because God's word is true. Turn over to John 5, verse 15 to 18. John chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. Let's break into the middle. I think Christ was teaching here. In verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So you see what was in their heart. Remember, if they're doing this to Christ, which is God himself, the perfect preacher, should we expect any different? Well, thank God that we have laws in our land that protect us from such things. But here, Christ is the perfect preacher, and he's preaching. And we see what's going on in the hearts of these Jews. They were trying to kill him because what he was teaching. They were offended at it, you see. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Oh, they were angry at what Christ was teaching. He said, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They didn't realize what they were saying, but they say, the truism here that Christ makes himself equal with God. But you see how they were offended at what he was saying, that murder, they had murderous intention in their heart towards Christ. And we shouldn't expect, see, the gospel, the true gospel, as we know, is a two-edged sword. It cuts, it separates, it's all these things it does. But the true believers who have truly been saved by God, they're not deterred by that, because it's par for the course. We're going to be misunderstood. We're going to be maligned. All these things is going to happen, you know. And now we're being severely tested by God. And it's seemingly that the 1600 days could be a possibility. What if it's not and we have to be here a while longer? What if it's not and we have to, and God, you know, we'd be here till more years. We don't have to worry about that. Remember, not whether we wake or sleep, whether we have died before the Lord comes or we're here when he returns, Nothing is going to separate us from the love of Christ. And we take it day by day. We have to live in a difficult situation. God will keep us. God knows. He knows all things. Remember in a short while, in the new heaven and new earth, we won't remember this. Neither will it come into mind. So our very short moment in this life, we shouldn't be, we got to stay here for another 30 years or whatever. No, we shouldn't think that way. We take it moment by moment with our eyes on the Lord, and we go to God. Wonderfully, we could go to God in prayer, and we could pour out our hearts before Him, and God understands and He knows. Turn over to John 8. John 8, verse 36. John 8, verse 36. Once again, we're going to break into the middle of the chapter. I think it's John 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but he seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Those who are offended at the gospel, is it possible that God's word have no place in them? Is it possible that God's word has no place in their heart? Why would someone persecute or be offended at the true gospel? And it's proven in the Bible that these things are so, and yet they're offended at it. It's not only about the teaching of May 21. There's any true teaching in the Bible of election. I remember once I was speaking to somebody about election, and they got very upset at me. They were angry that no, the Bible doesn't teach. No matter what you say, she was angry at me, telling me that that's not right, that's not fair, that's not. No matter what you say, is it possible that God's word have no place in them? And under the wicked, but those who have a, you know, unsaved man to a degree has some understanding of something in the Bible, although he's not saved. But many are offended at what God says. And then in verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if he were Abraham's children, he would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. The truth. See, and which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. So see what truth does to those who have not had their spiritual eyes open. They went about trying to kill Christ. And we should not expect any different, because many are going to be offended, particularly in our day. Why do you keep on talking about May 21? There's not other things you could speak about in the Bible. They just it gets under your skin and they don't want to hear it anymore. But they fail to realize that when you read the Bible, God repeats himself about all sorts of things in the Bible over and over and over and over again. So if the Bible's teaching this, that the church age is over and we're in a time of testing and the tribulation period is over with and all these things, why not repeat it? Over and over is truth, is in the Bible. And we should continue to speak about it. I have not have a lot more to say, but I think I better stop here and close. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together on thy word. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that thou art indeed a kind and a merciful Heavenly Father. Those of us who have had our eyes open, maybe before then, maybe we were offended at one point before God saved us about the gospel. But thou in thy great mercy has saved us, O Lord. And now we're no longer offended at the true gospel. We glorify it and we want to hear it more and more each time. Father, we ask that you will be with us today over all the activities of this day. We pray, O Lord, that you will have our conversations and fellowship based on the Bible, on the Bible, God's word. We can't talk about it enough. But we know, Lord, that throughout eternity, thy people will glorify thee throughout the ages to come for eternity. Father, we thank you for all of us here and those who are listening over the Pal Talk. We ask that you will bless, O Lord, thy word to the hearts of thy people. And, O Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day, the Lord's day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.